2 Chronicles, chapter 20. It's after Samuel and 15, 2 Kings, and then Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. Chapter 20. Praise the Lord. And I want you to bear with me today because I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 27. This is such an exciting chapter here. And to get the full understanding of this chapter, I have to read the entire chapter to you. So bear with me. Amen.
Amen.
The word of God said, and it came to pass after this also, that the children of Ammon, and with the other besides Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazor Tamar, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And said, O Lord God, our fathers, thou art God in heaven and rulers, not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen. And in thy hands is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. Have not thou, our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and giveth it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever, and they dwell therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name's sake. If when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment of pestilence, of famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then wilt thou hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom the Lord wouldn't not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Matthiah, the Levite, the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Zig, and ye shall find them in the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah, Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of Kohathites and of the children of Kohathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tokiah. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophet, so shall he prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 22, And when they began to sing and praise the Lord set ambushmen against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and this was smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone had to destroy another. And when Judah came to the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies, fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Verse 25. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches and dead bodies, and precious jewels which they stripped off of themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil, it was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Becher. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the Valley of Barakah unto this day. Verse 27, last verse. And they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. Amen. Let's pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, O God, because you alone are God. Father, we thank you that you will fight our battles. Lord, and we ask today, Lord, that you would speak to us, Lord God. Speak to our hearts, O Lord, and help us, O God, to depend upon you and not upon what we have, O God, not upon our paychecks or what belongs to us, but God, that our eyes will always be upon you, for you alone are God. And today we bless your holy name, and we give you honor and praises. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen and amen. This is such an interesting chapter. The title of my message today is Let God Fight Your Battle. Amen. Here we see in the 20th chapter, Jehoshaphat and his kingdom were in great danger and in distress from a foreign invasion. The Bible said a great multitude of Moabites and Amorites, Moabites and Amorites and others from Syria were plotting to crush Judah. Jehoshaphat was facing the greatest attack since his reign. And he was surprised that they were able to come in and to invade his kingdom. And the Bible said when Jehoshaphat got the news, he feared, just like us. Sometimes we get a bad report, and the first thing we do is fear. Fear comes from the enemy. But if we look at this chapter, the fear drove Jehoshaphat to seek the Lord, to call upon God. And the scriptures begin to say that he humbled himself before the Lord and began to seek the Lord. Not only that was a positive decision that he made that came out of the fear. He not only that Jehoshaphat called all Judah and the inhabitants, and he called them to get serious with God. Sometimes trials come in our lives to run us to God, to get serious with God. And this is what was happening at this time. The battle of the armies were coming up against them, and they knew that they were no match for the multitude that was coming up against them. So Jehoshaphat called upon the people to begin to seek help from the Lord. And the Bible said they gathered themselves together, Judah and all the inhabitants, and they set themselves aside, separated themselves, and they went without food at a time of fasting and prayer. And as they began to seek the face of the Lord, wanting God's direction, wanting God to intervene on behalf of their situation, what they were going through. But they knew that they had to do something, and the only thing that they knew they could do was call upon the Almighty God. And as he gathered the people together for a solemn assembly, a time of repentance and mourning, a time of crying out to God in desperate need, they set themselves. It was a designated time as they began to fast. They separated themselves from the daily routine so they could have time to wait on the Lord and to hear from God. And the Bible tells us that a promise came through the prophet Jehaziel, which is so encouraging to all believers who are facing difficult situations. And the word came from the Lord: fear not, do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the battle is not yours, but the battle is the Lord's. What encouraging words. I mean, this is what they were waiting for. They were waiting to hear from God, to get some encouragement from him. And the word came to them, fear not. That God said, I got this one. I'm going to fight your battle. You know, to win the war, we must give him our battles. Too many times we are trying to fight our own battles. And we are fighting it in the flesh, or we are fighting it with natural weapons. But sometimes you got to take up your spiritual weapons, like prayer and fasting. And the people realized they were in a desperate situation, that they needed God to move for them, as they know that the armies will crush them, as they had plotted to do. Jehoshaphat encouraged them, trust in God. I mean, Jehaziel had promised them and told them to trust in God. Even though Jehoshaphat had a great army, he knew that they were no match for this multitude. He said, the word of God said, he said, Lord, we have no might without thee, but we rely upon thee. Sometimes our situation that we're facing is nothing that we can really do about it. It's too difficult. We don't have the answer. And this is what he was saying. I know we have a great army, but Lord, this army that's coming up against us, we have no might against them, but our eyes are upon thee. God, I'm going to look to you for my answer. No matter how devastating the situation may seem or difficult, Lord, my eyes are upon you because I know you are able to deliver. And the Bible went on to say that Jehoshaphat, as they gathered the people and they went into prayer and fasting, and the word of the Lord came to them, Jehoshaphat knew that God was going to fight the battle for them. In every danger in life that we go through, whether it's public or personal, the first thing we should do is to seek the Lord. Sometimes we're going through trials and difficulties, and we begin to seek people. We began to seek the answer in so many different places. But we should always go first to seek the Lord. Lord, what are you saying to me in this situation? What do you want me to do in this situation? But today I want to bring out to you in this chapter three key elements that we're going to see here that Jehoshaphat called his people to do. And this is what brought the victory to God's people. And one of the keys was fasting. He called the entire nation. It was a proclaimed fast. He called the whole nation to fast and to pray and to seek the Lord. And we know that fasting is one of It's a powerful weapon that a believer could use against the stronghold that the enemy sometimes places in our lives or over a ministry. And if we study the Bible, we see even in the New Testament that where the people, the prophets and the teachers of God, before they would make any decision for the church, they would fast and pray and seek the Lord for direction. The signs and wonders ministry of Paul and Barnabas was birthed through prayer and fasting. If you read the book of Acts 16, Acts 13, verse 2 and 3. That every decision before they would make any important decision, they would fast and pray and seek the Lord for guidance. In the Old Testament, whenever there was an emergency or they were in desperation or there was danger, the people would fast. Let's take a look at Esther. And we know the story of Esther, the plot of Haman. Or he had plotted that he was going to wipe the Jews out of the face of the earth. And the news came to Esther. They needed God to intervene in their situation. And the Bible said Esther called upon the Jews to fast because she was in a dangerous mission. She had to go to the king and she had fast and seek the Lord for his deliverance. And we know what happened. They went on a 3-day fast and prayed. And God gave them the victory. Here we see Jesus in the book of Matthew, where this lunatic man came to Jesus, or the father brought his son who had a spirit, a lunatic demon. And he came to him and he said, Jesus, he said, I went to your disciples and they couldn't, and I brought my son to them and they couldn't cast this demon out. And Jesus, of course, we know the story. He said, oh, ye of little faith, you've been with me for so long. Why couldn't you cast the demon out? He said, but nevertheless, some cometh out only by prayer and by fasting. Fasting do not move God. Fasting move you closer to God. The Bible says, when I'm weak, then am I strong. Through fasting, a time of not eating and you know, just spending time in the presence of God. The physical body sometimes gets weak and drained, but the spirit man is being strengthened and being built up. Also, we see when not only Esther, but even Jesus. Remember when Jesus was led into the wilderness? And the Bible said, it said he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And after the 40 days, Satan came to tempt him. But the Bible said God had sent angels, angelic angels, to strengthen him. His fasting was when the enemy comes to face the enemy. And we know Jesus don't have any sin in his life. But he was leaving that as an example for us, because temptations will come in your life. And things will happen that sometimes we have to put fasting behind it, behind our prayer. Because there might be a situation that you're facing that it's an emergency. I need an answer right away. I need to hear from God right away. So you deny your body from food, some people even from water, whatever it may be. And you spend time in prayer and fasting, so guess what? That you can hear from God. It opens up your spirit man to hear from God. For every Christian, it's important for us to live a life of prayer and fasting. If it's one day in the week, spend time with God in prayer and fasting. Because like I said, what happens when we start to fast, we receive spiritual strength. Because our warfare is not carnal, it's not flesh and blood, it's against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in the high places. And we need to take up that spiritual weapon of fasting to pull down the stronghold of the enemy. And as they began to fast and pray, it was one of the keys to releasing the deliverance Judah experienced. Fasting. Fasting also opens the way for blessings, for restoration, and for forgiveness. Through fasting. By fasting also, you're doing, you're crucifying the flesh. It has to crucify the flesh. Because too many times the flesh tries to get in the way. And sometimes we have to deny the flesh of things that the flesh is used to. And put the flesh under subjection that the spirit man can increase. Where John said, Lord, that I will decrease, that you will increase. So fasting also helps us and makes us more sensitive to the things of God and even to the needs of the people around us. Fasting. And here we see in the book of Acts and throughout the scriptures in the Old and the New Testament at different times where the people would fast and pray before God. Because they were in desperate situation. I ask you, what it is? You may have a desperate situation in your life. You may have a situation that you're facing that may seem impossible. But I tell you, if you begin to put some fasting behind it, and you begin to pray and seek the face of God, God will reveal to you exactly what you need to do in that situation. And he will bring you out of it. Fasting is powerful. It's a powerful spiritual weapon. There's a lot of breakthroughs that came through prayer and fasting. And the second key was prayer. Second key. Key number two, prayer. Prayer was the essential to Judah's deliverance. Even while they were praying, the congregation was not yet dismissed. But the word of the Lord came to them. Because God hears the prayer of the righteous. Amen. And in the midst, the word of the Lord came to them. And they knew that they had the victory. This was more encouragement to them that here they are seeking the Lord. Could you imagine here we are seeking God concerning a situation that we are facing, maybe in our church or in our own lives. And as we begin to seek the Lord in prayer and in fasting, before we could leave this place, the word of the Lord came to us. How do you think we walk out of here feeling? Thanking and praising and rejoicing? Or would we walk out sad? I don't think so. When the word of the Lord came to them, they knew that they had the victory. Even before it was manifested, they knew they had it. Because they had the assurance from the Lord. And as they pray, you know, in the book of 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, verse 14, and most of us are very familiar with that verse. The Bible said, if my people who are called by my name shall seek my face and humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. What a promise. What a promise. He said, if my people, if they seek my face, if they humble themselves and pray, he said, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. Do you know what's the answer for America today? With all what's going on in America and even in the nation? If God's people, the people of God, will gather together and begin to seek the face of God in prayer and in fasting, I tell you, there will be a change in our nation. Because if we study the scriptures as they began to seek the Lord, the change came. And it's up to the church, even maybe in your own personal life, situations that you're facing. As we begin to humble ourselves before the Lord at a time of repentance and weeping and mourning and crying out to God for that situation that they are facing, deliverance comes. I know in my own life there were times where I was facing difficult times, and I'm sure some of you are here today in your own life, where I knew that I had to do more than just pray. I knew that I had to add some fasting to it. Because there was a desperate need, a situation that I needed to hear from God before I made a decision. I needed to hear from God. And I would spend time before the Lord, praying and fasting and seeking the Lord, and I tell you, God answered. And the answer was very clear, that I knew it was God. He would give you directions and instructions. He would show you exactly what you ought to do. If you're saying, I don't know what to do in this situation, add some fasting to it, to your prayer. Pray and fast. And they begin to pray. And they begin to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat said, he said, for we have no power, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. The cry of the Christian in your darkest hour should be, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I'm depending upon you. Trust God to fight your battle, no matter how big it may seem. And you went on to say, we see Elisha, how Elisha prayed in James 5:16. The Bible said, Elisha prayed that it will not rain. And the Bible said for 3 years and 6 months, there was no rain. And Elijah prayed again, and the heavens gave rain. It says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How important is prayer? Very important. No prayer, no power. Much prayer, much power. Prayer is important. Jonah prayed out of the belly of the fish, and God saved him. It's important for us to pray. He's calling us back to prayer and fasting to receive the breakthroughs that we believe in God for. Spiritual victories are won in our prayer closet. Remember Jesus said, when you pray and you fast, don't, you know, walk around with that sad face, and so everybody could know that you're fasting. He said, but anoint yourself with oil. Nobody needs to know something you're doing in your prayer closet. You're praying and you're fasting. He said, and the reward will be open you. So it's important as believers for us to pray. Prayer is just communication with the Almighty God. It's talking to God. Prayer is just opening up your heart to the Lord and letting Him know exactly how you feel. Letting Him know everything that you're going through. Hold up your checkbook before Him and say, God, this is all I have. Take it to the Lord in prayer. He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to bring your need and bring your trials and bring your problems to Him. Take it to the Lord in prayer. He loves when His people comes to Him to talk to Him. Did you have a little talk with the Lord this morning? If you prayed, you had a little talk with Jesus. Prayer is very, very important. We can't live without it and call ourselves a Christian. We can't get by without praying and seeking God. Every day we don't know when we leave our homes, what we're going to face in the office or wherever we may go. So it's always important to pray. I remember times in my own life where I would get before the Lord in intercession, in prayer, praying and seeking the face of God. And I would get up that morning and I would get to work, and this is the honest truth. I would get to work and I would know exactly what's going to happen that day. Because I've talked to my Father. Amen. And there's some things that He revealed to me. Because as you begin to pray and you begin to talk to your Heavenly Father, and you begin to tell Him situations and certain things, you begin to share with Him. He does not just sit there with a deaf ear, He answers. And then He will speak back to you, and He will talk to you and He will tell you what you need to do. There's power in prayer. Prayer, again, it opens heaven. And as we begin to pray, God hears. It's in the Bible in Psalm 34:17. It says, the righteous cry, and the Lord hear it, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Does God answer prayer? Yes, He does. I've heard people say, well, you know, I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed, and God never answered my prayer. Maybe He did, but He didn't answer it the way they wanted Him to. Sometimes we
ask God for things in prayer, and God knows that's not good for you. Lord, but this guy on my chubby is so handsome, Lord. He's my husband, Lord. No, not good for you. So you walk away saying, you know, God didn't answer that prayer. I asked God, God knows that I'm believing Him for a husband, and everybody around me is married, and I want my husband, and God didn't answer the prayer. You were blessed, He didn't answer it. Because a couple of months later, you found out, this handsome dude, oh, he's got a lot of baggages. I mean, thank God He didn't answer that prayer. I'd be in trouble. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we got to pray to according to the word of God. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, they said that Jesus sweat became blood turned into blood. It was an agonizing prayer. He was in deep intercession. And when he got up there, he said, Lord, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done.
Amen.
I could pray now and say, God, bless me with $1 million. Lord, bless me. I promise you, God, I'll pay my tithes off of it, and I'll bless the ministry. And he says, but I see down the road, you'll take that money, you'll buy a big house, you'll show off on everybody else, you'll give the church a dime, I'm not going to bless you. Hallelujah. You see what I'm saying? We have to be careful for what we are praying for. And this is why not all of our prayers God will answer. Because He sees the end. He knows. Say, Lord, I'm believing you for $1 million. I'm going to bless the ministry, bless everyone around me. But nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Yes, Lord, I want that husband. He's handsome, he's good looking, just the kind of man I'm looking for. He's fine looking. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Hallelujah. God answers prayer, but according to His will. Key number three, praise. Powerful praise births victory. Now we got to use these keys. Fasting, prayer, and praise. The Bible tells us that Judah went out first, and we know the name Judah means praise. And Judah went out first, and they began to sing praises on the Lord. The Bible said with loud and high voices, lifting praises unto the Lord. Praise will confuse the enemy and throw his plans into confusion and turmoil. Could you imagine the doctor giving you a negative report, and you can, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, Lord, I pray. Is she crazy? Did she hear that doctor's report, and she's praising God? Is she out of her mind? Praise will confuse the enemy. He don't understand that. I love it. The Bible said, and they all went out, and they began to sing praises unto the Lord. With their voices lifted high and loud, they wanted the devil to hear it. Sometimes you got to get into your house and run around through every room in your house and praise the Lord with the top of your voice, screaming praises unto God. The devil can't stay in the house. That wayward kids will come back home. That marriage that is on the brink of failure, go turn around. Praises confuse the enemy. And here is the power of praise. Judah was confronted by mortal enemies. The Bible says Moab and Ammon and others were coming up against them. And here they are, praising the Lord. And the Bible says, I know what I love about it, the word of God, God knew where the enemy is. And He's going to let you know the plans of the enemy.
The Bible says, he told them, go down there. They're coming up from the bands of Satan. The enemy. He showed you where the enemy is. And the Bible said when they got there, Judah got there first. And when they got there, there were dead bodies on the ground. And the Bible said not one escaped. Could you imagine? What happened? Moab and Ammon turned on Syria and killed them. And then they turned on one another and killed each other. Listen, the pit that the devil is digging for you, he fall in it. Yeah, the plot was to kill Jehoshaphat and Judah, to wipe them out. But guess what? The enemy was confused and they turned upon each other. And they all killed each other. Then not one escaped. Tell me if we don't serve an awesome God. The Bible went on to say that they went down there. When they got there, to see dead bodies all over the ground. And they didn't have to lift a finger. God fought their battles for them. And the Bible said that on the dead bodies, they began to strip them of the gold and the silver that they had. And all the abundance, and it took them 3 days carry the spoil. 3 days just collecting the abundance of the gold. How would you like that? Not only that the Lord defeated the enemy, but he gave them everything that belongs to the enemy. The Bible said that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And what the devil meant for evil, God is turning it around for good.
Amen.
Trust me, if you are one of the righteous, it's fair their time. Mm-hmm. The enemy is going to let go and give up what belongs to you.
Amen.
We have an old song that we used to sing in our church. I'm going to the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from me. Yeah, we need to go into the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from us.
Amen.
Because he's a thief, he's a liar, mm-hmm. and he came to kill, to steal, and to destroy.
Yes.
But God came to give us life, and to give it to us more abundantly. They walk out with the abundance. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And not only that they walk out with abundance, but they walk out with abundance rejoicing and praising God for his mercy enduring forever.
Amen.
Look what the Lord has done.
Hallelujah.
Well, I can imagine, could you imagine just going down to there and underground seeing all the enemies who was planning to destroy you. All of a sudden, he's there. I didn't have to do a thing. All I did, I fasted, I prayed, and I praised the Lord. Now look what happened. And then not only that, you got to your enemy, and you said, yeah, everything that belongs to me, he stole it. Now I'm taking it back.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to worry. I don't have to be afraid that the enemy will take it back from me because he's dead. Something that we have lost in life and we think that we'll never get it back. Listen, girlfriend, my brother, it's coming back to you.
Amen.
God is bringing back and giving back to you what the devil stole from you. Because it doesn't belong to him, it belongs to you.
Amen.
The Bible said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Somebody's driving your car that you should be driving.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's living in your home that you should be living in. The reverse is coming. The transfer is coming. Let them go forth and build that house that they may be building in your neighborhood. They don't know they're building it for you. It's just a matter of time. The earth is the Lord. Hallelujah.
And what belongs to God belongs to us.
Amen.
And we ought to know who we are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That we're not going to look at the circumstances or the difficulties that we are facing right now, but we're going to put our eyes on God.
Amen.
Jeremiah 51:20, the word of God said, He's our battle axe. I love it. I love that. He said He's our battle axe. In other words, He'll fight our battle.
Mm-hmm.
Let God fight your battle. Stop fighting it.
Mm-hmm.
Let go and let God.
Amen.
He's waiting for you to come and give Him the battle. Give Him the situation.
Mm-hmm.
He's waiting for you. Stop struggling. Stop trying to work it out in the natural or in the flesh. And just give it to God. You do your part. Do what you know that God is expecting you to do. And watch what God will do.
Amen.
And I'm always happy when my daughter is here. She loves to hear me preach. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, she can hear. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I'm just going to go off my message a little here. But this is just really to add to what we know that God is able to do. She came to me about a year, 2 years ago. She said, Mommy, I had a dream. And I dreamt that the phone rang. And I ran and I picked up the phone and I answered the phone. And when I put it down and I walked away, I realized I can get it. She said a couple of days went by and she had the exact dream. A week went by and she had the same dream.
Amen.
God confirms His word among two and three witnesses.
Amen.
And I said, Nisa, that's a confirmation.
Amen.
God is able to do, as we shared last Friday, the exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us.
Amen.
Her situation she's facing, God is bigger than
Amen.
That.
Amen.
So what I do, God, I trust You. My eyes are on You.
Mm-hmm.
You will fight that battle.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing we can do. Nothing in the natural that you can do. Nothing doctors can do for her but God.
Amen.
Keep your eyes on God. Even though it looks impossible, it's not impossible with Him.
Amen.
And this is why I love this chapter. Even though in the natural it was impossible for Jehoshaphat to win this battle.
Mm-hmm.
And he realized it when he said, we have no might against this great army, but I'm depending upon You. He had an army, but there were no match for the army that was coming up against. We may have the answer for certain situations in our life, but sometimes we face situations that we don't know what to do. But you know something? Sometimes God will allow us to go through trials to strengthen our faith and also to perfect us. Because the closer we get to God, the more we begin to act like Him. And to talk like Him.
Yes.
And to walk like Him.
Mm-hmm.
The more we begin to mimic God. It's the more closer we get to Him, is the more that flesh is being crucified. And the spirit is being strengthened. So sometimes the trial is for good in our life. And I know we all been through certain situations. We all been, sometimes some of us in situations, we never thought we'd get out of it. We thought, this is it. I'm dead. But God brought us out.
There were times in my life I thought, this is it, Lauren. Out for the count, that's it. You're gone. But God, He delivered. Amen. And He brought me out. Because I trusted Him and my eyes was upon Him. And I know if it hadn't been for God, I would have never made it. The fight was too big for me. But the fight was not too big for God.
Amen.
I want to read the 24th and 21st verse, 25th verse again. I want you to listen. And when Judah came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches and dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off of themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were there 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Fasting, prayer, and praise releases the abundance, the restoration, and the blessings of God in your life. Three important keys that we could look at and apply to our own lives. We got to get back to the old landmark, back to prayer and fasting and praise. You see, in churches, we don't have time to praise the Lord. So we sing 2 or 3 songs and amen. People are no longer spending time in fasting. Churches are not no longer calling for solemn assembly, gathering the people together at a time of prayer, fasting, praying for the church, praying for the people, praying for the nation. You call up for a meeting, and if you have 100 in the congregation, if 5 show up, you're blessed. Because people do not want to come out to pray. But if you tell the people, well, I have a prophet coming in town and he's going to tell you everything about your life, the whole congregation, everybody shows up. Mm-hmm. Because people want you to prophesy over me and prophesy over me. But let's say we're calling everybody on a fast 3 days. We're going to lock ourselves up in the sanctuary and we're going to pray and we're going to fast and we're going to seek the Lord concerning the direction of this ministry. I guarantee you, if 10 people show up, you're blessed. The church got to get back to the place of prayer, fasting, praying. Forget that the worship. We need to spend more quality time, the body of Christ, in congregations all across the nation. You could count how many songs they will sing. Some of them, I look at some of them on TV and some of these great ministries. And you can look at some of them and they sing 3 songs and 1 worship song and that's it. God inhabits the praises of His people. He gets involved. And this is what happened. As Judah, the people and the inhabitants begin to praise and they begin to worship God, God got involved in the midst of their praises and He fought their battle. Said, dear you, get up in your house. Sometimes I feel like a crazy woman. I run about my house screaming, and Lord, I thank you, I praise you, hallelujah. And I said, I hope the neighbors are not hearing me. They were, no, she has lost it. We have
do that. He wants us to give Him praise. He inhabits the praises of His people, or He dwells in the praises of His people. He gets involved in the midst of prayer. Healing takes place. Deliverance takes place in the midst of praising. Sometimes in our congregation, as we begin to praise the Lord at the National Church of God, sometimes Pastor Larry may say, there's somebody right now being healed. It happened while we were praising the Lord. Or somebody right now got a miracle. It happened in the midst of praise. We don't have to wait until the pastor gets up and brings the word. Just in our praise and worship unto God. Guess what? He comes and he begins to get involved in the praise and the worship. Yokes and bondages are being broken. It's a powerful weapon against the enemy that will confuse him all every time. Lucifer was a worshiper. So the enemy will do anything to stop us from praising and from worshiping God. I encourage you today in conclusion. What battle are you facing today that you need to hear from God? You need an answer from God. There's something that you believe in God for. Something you want God to do for you. That is only God alone could do. And you know that if God doesn't intervene in my situation, it's over. Remember, the battle is not yours. If you keep fighting it, it's a quiet. Fight your own battle. You know, there is a saying that Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. Mm. And people say, well, Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. In other words, I've got to do this for myself. I've got to take up my bed and walk. There's some things in our life that He knows. That is for us to do. It's with God. God is not going to come down here and open your mouth and say, worship me, worship me. No. You know. You've got to open your mouth and worship the Lord.
Amen.
God's not going to come down and say, please, will you pray? Will you pray, Lauren, please? No. You know, if you're a child of God, that you ought to pray. But there's some things that we know to do, and He said, you know to do that. No, do it. But there's some things that we know that only God can do. And those are the things that He wants us to give to Him. Release it into His hands. And He can do it for us. So whatever situation, the Bible said in Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord has delivered them out of them all.
Amen.
Listen, saints, we will go through trials. You know, some people say, well, once you come to the Lord, that's it, you won't have any problems. No, that's not true. I tell you, when you come to the Lord, that's when all hell breaks loose. It happened in my life. It's like, what is this? Now that I'm saved, everything has gone wrong in my life. The devil is angry. He don't want you to come to the life. But the Bible promises us that many are the afflictions of the righteous. That afflictions mean there's going to be trials and tribulations and difficulties and problems. And you're seeing it. He said, but the Lord has delivered you out of them all.
Amen.
We are already delivered. Hallelujah. Say, I'm delivered.
Amen.
Because the word of God said, the Lord will deliver them out of them all. I'm delivered. So He will deliver us. He will bring us out of the situation. Listen, it came to pass. This too shall pass. You're going through, but listen, says you're coming out.
Amen.
And if you trust him and you let him fight the battle, you're coming out with all the blessings, to spoil everything. That all good and all perfect gift coming down from the Father from above. It's coming down to you, all the good, all the perfect gift. It's coming to you. Just trust him. Let him fight your battle. God wants us to come to him. He has never failed his children. He never failed us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Listen, when the battle comes, the Lord will say, I'm out of here. No. He's right there with you. He was right in the lion's den with Daniel. He was right in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He don't desert his people and pick up and run. No, he's looking for battles. He said, give me this one. I'll fight it for you. He's our battle axe. He's our fortress, our strong tower, our hiding place, our shield, our buckler, our rock, the horn of our salvation. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is God Almighty. He's God by himself. There is nothing that is too hard for him to do, and there is nothing that is impossible with God. Are you happy that the kind of God that you serve, there is nothing that is impossible with him? Oh, glory be to God.
Amen.
That alone is enough to make you shout.
Amen.
I dare you to praise him.
Amen.
I dare you to seek him in prayer and fasting concerning that situation. Begin to mourn and weep and cry out to God. He's looking for those who seek him. He said his ears are open unto the righteous. He hears when we cry. He's listening. He's listening for that cry. The saints of God, be encouraged today. And know that God is in control of every situation that you must be facing today. And all he wants you to do is to release it into his hand.
Amen.
And say, God, this one is yours.
Amen.
You fight it. I'm just going to praise you. I'm just going to pray and fast. And I'm going to stand here still and see the salvation of the Lord. He said, for the Egyptians you have seen today, you shall see them no more forever. Because when God destroys the enemy, they are destroyed. That situation that may come in your life, that is tormenting you, or whatever it may be, when God destroys it, never again can it come back. He said, you'll see them no more forever. That's a promise. That's a promise. So trust the Lord. Be not be dismayed. Do not be afraid. For the battle is not yours, but the battle is the Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you trust?